we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Great to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Looking forward to talking to you. Phone number's I almost gave out my cell phone. That would not be good. The phone number's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Call in with your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got. We got a lot of topics to get to today. Lots of headlines. What an incredible weekend. Producer extraordinaire Bobby and I were just talking about, Trump always told us we'd get tired of winning. I'm not tired of winning, but I am absolutely exhausted just trying to keep up with the winning. It is truly something to see. I still pinch myself. We're past the 100-day mark. We're in mid-May now, and it's still Christmas every day, multiple times a day. You go into the weekend and India and Pakistan are at it. You got all kinds of economic issues from the tariffs and especially with China and on cheap goods. And, if you unplugged, if you went fishing or camping or whatever and kind of, unplugged for a couple of days, you come back on Monday morning and it's like, oh, okay, so Trump fixed everything over the weekend that I was worried about. Literally just hard to keep up with. I'm not going to get to everything today for sure. I'm not even aware of everything. I know I do this for a living. I'm supposed to watch all this and keep up with this so you don't have to, and then hit the highlights for you during the hour that I get with you twice a week. But I can't keep up. It's absolutely remarkable. There is no slowdown with this administration. There is no let up on the gas, and that should be. That should be a signal to the rest of us that we should be doing the same thing. This is one of those times where we just don't slow down. This is no time for a break. Somebody asked me the other day, hey, is it slowing down? Actually, it was church the other day. Is it slowing down for you? Is there going to be you and Kara going to get a little break? And I said, honestly, I don't want a break right now. I don't want a break in the action for at least another 415 or 20 days. I want to at least get to July 4th, 2026 for the 250th birthday of the nation, and I want to be exhausted on July 5th, okay? I want to crash for a week after July 5th, after July 4th, 2026, because I don't think this window will be available before I'm dead. Should the Lord tarry, this window that we've got right now, I don't think happens in America for probably another 100 years. And it's the window that has been given to us by this perfect storm of having an administration, having a president that has been radicalized to freedom, radicalized to the Constitution, radicalized to God and to biblical values. He gets the importance of restoring America's foundations that made us great. That bullet that went through his ear in Butler, Pennsylvania, changed everything. Now, I shouldn't say everything. The trajectory of where he was headed was already pretty amazing. But the level of intensity with the man, the level of the willingness on a part of the American people, the appetite for the American people to want big change just went through the roof in that one moment. And so this moment in time that I'm trying to describe at this point, this window of opportunity, has been because of this perfect storm of a president who was absolutely pushed to the brink by his political opponents and by the leftists and the Marxists that have had control of every major institution in America for years and that have pushed the nation to the brink of potentially losing the entire foundation the nation was built upon. The reason they brought in 20 million people was to dilute the American value system. It wasn't just for votes. It wasn't just to influence the Electoral College or the makeup of Congress or create chaos in the streets with the crime and all that. It was very much to dilute the American spirit. They had already done a really good job of eradicating the American spirit, but through the erosion of the American memory, as Reagan put it in his farewell address in January of 89, they accomplished that part. And so we were already a weakened society where the virus of bad government was growing out of control because of the petri dish where it breeds, and that is civic and biblical ignorance. So we already had the civic and biblical ignorance that was allowing this softening of our people to happen. And then you pour onto that 20 million people who do not share our values, who do not know what it means to be an American, who many of them embrace Islam and so many of these other things that are not compatible with the Constitution or the American value system. And in all of that, you risk losing the nation forever. Like, not just having a few bad years or a bad administration, but actually losing the nation. And so because of that, that pushed the American people to the brink, and it woke up a ton of folks. I mean, millions of Americans were awakened to the Marxist takeover of the country. They were awakened to the insanity in our streets and the insanity of the transgender agenda and all of these things. It shook people out of their slumber. And so you end up with a president in the White House that is willing to push for big change to restore the Constitution and restore American values. And that's why you're getting all these executive orders that are just like a dream, I mean, every day. And then you got that at the national level, so at the highest echelons of the federal government, the most powerful man on the planet. And then, in addition to that, you have the American people with an appetite to want that change and to want to restore the foundations of the country. And then the third piece, the third leg of this stool, is that you have the leaders in the field with the ability to do the restoration. In other words, you have the right bricklayers to rebuild the walls. You have the experts that know how to put the right mortar to mix this thing right, to get the right bricks and the right mortar, and to rebuild the walls in a way that it will last for generations, to rebuild it strong. And those people that I'm talking about, those leaders, are the people like David Barton, Tim Barton, myself, Kirk Cameron, Walker Wildman, the Wildman family, the Bishop Jackson, the all of these people that for decades have been prepared for this moment in time. So I just don't see how you cannot see the hand of God in this thing, and that we have been given this reprieve and this window, and now we have to do the most with it that we possibly can. I kind of imagine Nehemiah was probably in the same boat. You know, at the point in which the king said yes, when King Artaxerxes said yes, not only am I going to release you to go rebuild the walls, I'm going to fund it. I'm going to give you the money to do it. I'm going to give you the letters for passage to get there. I'm going to give you the things you need to get the timber and the materials and all of the things that you need. I cannot imagine that when that green light was given, that Nehemiah was playing golf on the weekends. I know, golf didn't, but you get my point. I can't imagine that Nehemiah was, you know, just lounging around, having a good time, relaxing, taking vacations. The dude was on warp speed, I guarantee you. He was staying up late at night writing letters. He was getting up early in the morning. I doubt he had a whiteboard, but I guarantee you had something in that that he was mapping out exactly how we're going to do this. The guy was on go. He was pressing the gas and did not let up. That's why they were able to rebuild the wall so fast. Because when the window was opened, when God aligned that perfect storm for him, when he got permission, when everything suddenly fell into place, and this was not an overnight success. This was 10 years in the making. That, you know, scholars estimate he was in the king's court for about 10 years before this moment happened. Now, we don't know for sure exactly how long from the time that he was told about the walls being in disrepair and all that, but to get convincing the king. But the point is that he had to serve for 10 years to be in the position to make the ask and then to go do the rebuilding. And I think that's where we are. We have been blessed to have all these ministries, from American Family Association to Wall Builders to Patriot Academy, Summit Ministries, Jeff Myers. I mean, all these people, all these incredible ministries and organizations that for decades have been doing good work. I mean, we've been churning out good biblical citizens and informed patriots and graduates that are now serving in Congress and legislatures and all that good stuff. We've been doing good work, okay? But I think that was a drop in the bucket for what's going to happen over the next 415 to 20 days. And so that's why I'm like, no vacations, no time off. This is the time to press the gas. I expect to wear myself out over the next year and a couple of months. And that's okay. I'll do a sabbatical afterwards. But this is go time, man. This is press the gas, get in the fight. We're in the trenches for the heavy, heavy fighting right now. And what I mean by the fighting, I mean we're going to take back ground all over this country. And I'm not talking about just to buckle the Bible Belt, Texas and Mississippi and Arkansas and Tennessee. I'm talking about California, Massachusetts, Oregon, Washington State. We're going to take ground back in every community in this nation. There is not going to be a stone left unturned. We're going to have Constitution coaches in every community. We're going to have people putting In God We Trust up at on the dais of every government entity in every community in the country. We're going to get the Ten Commandments back into classrooms and in courthouses. We're going to have nativity scenes back up this Christmas. We're going to restore religious liberty with First Liberty and Kelly Shackelford and Andrea Justice and that whole team over there. We're going to be getting the civics thing turned around in this country. We're going to have 4 million more people go through our Constitution classes over the next year. We already had 1 million go through. We need 4 million more in the next year. We're going to restore limited government in this country. We're going to actually put government back in its box. Trump is just scratching the surface, but he's giving us an appetite to do it. He's doing all that he can with the executive orders, but we're going to have to do some constitutional amendments to make this thing happen. We're going to have to actually wipe out a lot of these federal agencies that are way beyond the constitutional authority of the federal government. But then at the local level, we're going to have to restore the thinking of our people about what the proper role of government is. We're going to restore property rights. We're going to get back to the point where when you own property, you make the decisions about what's going to be done with that property and how you're going to do it, not some bureaucrat at the local county or city level that thinks they're smarter than you. And maybe they are smarter than you, but they don't own the property and it's not their right to tell you what to do with it. So all of that, everything that I'm rattling off right now, we have an opportunity to make that happen. People are ready for the big changes, and we have to be the ones to do it. So this is a rebuilding liberty year. No time to take a break. I don't think Donald Trump takes breaks. I don't know what the guy's doing, to keep his energy and his health up. I really think we need to be praying for him every day to be able to do that, because Donald Trump is not our savior. He is not, but he is the instrument that God is using as the tip of the spear to create this opening for us as a nation. And now we need to come alongside him and I think model his work ethic. I don't know if you can get by on 3 or 4 hours sleep or 5 or whatever it is that he gets, but at least get your 8 hours of sleep. But this is not the time to be relaxing and playing golf or going on vacations. This is the time to say, you know what? I'm going to do the 2-2-2. What are you talking about, Rick? What's the 2-2-2? I remember Herman Cain's 999. Remember that presidential campaign? Everywhere he went, he's 999. And he had his 999 plan. What's this 2-2-2 thing? 2-2-2. I'm not going to tell you until after the breaks. So let that sink in. 2-2-2. I'm going to be asking you to do the 2-2-2. And if everybody out there does this, if we all do the 2-2-2, we're going to save this country. We're going to be celebrating on July 4th, 2026, like nobody's business. I mean, it's going to be the biggest party all over this nation. 5,000 celebrations all over America. 20,000 communities in America, according to the Census Bureau, that have 500 or more people. We're shooting for 25% of them. Wouldn't even make the Hall of Fame in baseball batting 250, but we're going to get 25% of those 20,000 communities to do a celebration on July 4th. We're going to be celebrating on July 4th, 2026, because you that are listening right now, because you did the 2-2-2 over the next 415 to 420 days. Quick break, and then I'll tell you what the 2-2-2 is. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Yeah.
What does the future hold for American education? On the Next AFA at Home, host Walker Wildman and his guests will provide answers.
Before we start talking solutions, we want to give a little context and history just to tell you how we got to where we are today.
When you remove the Bible out of schools, when you remove any mention of faith from the history classes, well, you've created now a generation of individuals that, frankly, I think they're going to be very shocked by hearing a lot of the conversation today because that wasn't in their history class.
The Lord was talking to parents. He wasn't talking to government. Children belong to their parents. They do not belong to the government.
There's either going to be the DEI, woke, Marxism, or you're going to go back to religion, morality, and knowledge.
Don't miss Episode 7 of AFA at Home, premiering May 15th at 6 p.m. Central on AFA Stream. It's free for 1 week, so mark your calendar and sign up for your free Stream account today. Stop by stream.afa.net. Stream.afa.net.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Are you as optimistic as I am? Are you planning to put in the time and the effort over the next 415 to 20 days? To make sure that we press the gas and make the most of this opportunity that we've given. I'm talking about taking this window of opportunity that's just barely, you know, it's barely opened. I mean, Trump's doing all that he can, but that window's open. But we got to shove it open. We got to shove it all the way. And I'm talking like dive through that window and actually make the changes happen at the local level. It's going to be a lot of work, folks. It's going to be a lot of, you know, it's going to take some effort. On the part of everyone. In other words, you can't just depend on President Trump. You can't just depend on Walker Wildman or Rick Green. You can't just depend on other people to get this thing done. We each have a role to play. Everyone listening right now, you've got a role to play in this thing. And you've got about, I think today is 416 days. We got 416 days to make this thing happen. So what's the two? So if you're watching online and not just listening, I'm holding up the new book. It's called A Blueprint for Rebuilding Liberty, just in time for America's 250th. Not out yet. You can't get it. This is an advanced draft I'm holding in my hand, but it will be out soon, definitely by July 4th, and we'll have a new course, new Constitution course that we're coming out with, 4-week course this time. A lot of you that are listening, you've been through Biblical Citizenship in Modern America or Constitutional Live or one of our other Constitution programs. Rebuilding Liberty is going to be a 4-week class, less than an hour each week. And so it's going to be quick, down and dirty, man. We're going to get to business quick. And in that 4 weeks, turn people into informed patriots, informed citizens that aren't just patriotic. They know what to do with it. They know what the Declaration's about. In other words, we've got to teach them why we're celebrating the 250th birthday of the nation. What is it that we're celebrating? Why did America become the most successful, the most powerful, the most free, the wealthiest, the most benevolent nation in the history of mankind? What did the Declaration put in place? Why such a good foundation? Because if we don't restore that foundation, if we don't search out the cracks in that foundation and repair them, then we're not going to last another 250 years, again, should the Lord tarry. But if he does, we want to make sure that we're handing our kids a strong foundation, a nation that has those walls that have been rebuilt with the right bricks and the right mortar and built strong so that they get to enjoy freedom as well, which means going back to the Declaration of Independence that we will be celebrating on the 250th and understanding the principles that are laid out in that document. And so the way we're going to do that is each and every one of us doing the 2-2-2. Okay, here's what the 2-2-2 is. If you go to the end of the Declaration, everybody knows the line. But think about what Jefferson wrote and then they put their name to. In support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I'm asking you to give 2 hours a week of your life. I'm asking you to give 2% of your fortune. And I'm asking you once a week to post 2 times, risking your sacred honor, your reputation. Okay, so it's the 2-2-2. 2 hours a week invested in freedom. That means hosting a Rebuild Liberty course in your home or your church or somewhere. Harley-Davidson dealership, Bait and Tackle Shop. We got them happening everywhere across the country. Biblical Citizenship has been the main class that everybody's hosted A million people have been through it. We've had 10,000 classes take place across the country. We need 10,000 more classes to take place between now and the 250th. And we need 4 million people to go through the courses between now and the 250th. So 2 hours a week, I'm asking you to host a class in your home or your church or somewhere at least one time between now and the 250th. In fact, I'm encouraging you to do it on July 4th of this year. Start your class on July 4th of 2025, or maybe that weekend. The 4th falls on a Friday this year, so maybe Friday night, or maybe Saturday that weekend on July 5th, or maybe Sunday afternoon at your church on July 6th, or maybe Thursday night, July 3rd. You pick, but at some point that week, launch your first Rebuild Liberty class. Now, that course will be ready by then. We're editing it right now. We've already filmed most of the segments, and it'll be ready to go. And you do that through our website at patriotacademy.com. It's free to do this. It's free to sign up. It's free to host it. Your students get to go through for free. And we'll coach you through that whole process. You don't have to know anything to be a Constitution coach or host and do this class. So that's the first two of the 222. 2 hours of your time. If you're not hosting a class, then spend 2 hours campaigning for somebody that's a Liberty candidate running for office. Spend 2 hours sharing your favorite programs from At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Go get on our website and go through the programs, pick out the best ones, and send them to your friends and family. Or spend 2 hours a week volunteering somewhere in your community to help rebuild liberty in your community. But that's the number one, the first ask. 2 hours of your life every week. And then 2% of your fortune. Now, that means different things to different people, okay? That might mean, listen, if you're uber wealthy and you got, you know, $1 million or more sitting in the bank, yeah, I'm asking you to take $20,000, 2% of your fortune, and donate it to causes out there that are working to rebuild liberty. Maybe you donate it to American Family Radio or to American Family Association in general, but maybe specifically to the radio program to help us reach more people with the programming. Or maybe you donate part of it to American Family Radio and part of it to Wall Builders or Patriot Academy, or maybe you sponsor a kid to go this summer to one of our leadership congresses. Whatever. You figure out what's on your heart. But 2% is doable for everyone. Now, for some people, like I said, that's fortune meaning like what you got in the bank or what you got sitting around. Maybe you got a boat that you can donate or an RV or an extra car that you can sell and then do a donation. It's time to give of our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It might be 2% of your monthly income. You know, so if you're bringing home $5,000 a month, that you set aside, you know, what would that be? $100? 2% would be $100. That you take $100 a month and you donate it to whatever cause for you is rebuilding liberty in the way that you want to support. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. So anyway, 2%, you figure it out. I don't think it's asking too much at this critical time that you say for the next 416 days, I'm going to give away 2% of whatever I bring in and I'm going to invest it in liberty. Okay, so that's 2 hours a week, two hours of your life, 2% of your fortune, and then 2 posts a week that risks your reputation, your sacred honor. And what I mean by that is the cancel culture is not over. We still got to fight this thing. They still want to stop us from speaking truth. They still want to prevent the truth from getting out. And one of the ways that you help to get the truth out there is you share on social media whatever we're posting at American Family or whatever I'm posting at Patriot Academy or Wall Builders or whatever it might be. Just retweet or or on Facebook share or whatever it might be, but do your best to be a force multiplier and share the good news, share the message, share the discipleship that we're doing in the area of culture. Becoming a good disciple means that you follow everything that he commanded, and that includes how we treat our neighbors, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about politics and any of these things. It's all how you treat your neighbors. So 222. 2 hours a week of your time, 2% of your fortune, and 2 posts a week where you share what we're putting out about the 250th, about some principle in the Declaration, about whatever. One of those posts that's impacting the culture out there, you can be a part of that. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-589-8840. Don't forget the 222. We'll be talking about it a lot for the next 416 days. So start thinking about how you're going to invest your 2 hours a week, your 2% of your fortune, and your 2 posts every week. We'll start in Tennessee. Ron in Tennessee, you're up first today. Go ahead, man. You got the floor.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to take my 222 and load a shipping container and leave the country. I just saw Ron Johnson wants to saddle us with another $4 trillion of debt. It's blowing my mind right now. I'm losing it.
Well, Ron, you know, don't leave the country.
I give him a third chance. I just don't understand what the deal is, where he doesn't get it. They send in Elon Musk to go in there with a Doge and to cut some spending and find some savings for us so that we don't have to raise the ceiling. And then he's going and he's raising the ceiling. What are we supposed to do?
Well, that's not good. I totally agree with you. Absolutely. I'm for a ceiling cap at this point. I think we need a constitutional amendment that requires a balanced budget. I think we tie their hands, you know, and prevent them from being able to raise the ceiling. I will say, when you get frustrated like this, and I share your frustration. I mean, I get like this too whenever they do things that make no sense, or they do what they promised us they wouldn't do, right? The, like part of the deal right now that we has gotten people engaged in this whole process is recognizing that $36 trillion in debt is stealing from our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and it's making us weak as a nation. It'll actually destroy the nation. Thomas Jefferson talked about this in his inaugural address. He was like, hey, if you do that, you're choosing servitude, that you cannot have a free nation and be free citizens if you are, what the Bible tells us, a borrower to the lender, and you saddle so much of your you saddle your nation with so much debt. So totally agree, man. It shouldn't be done. They should be doing absolutely slashing. Now, I recognize that there are some on our side that are arguing for the wiggle room for the president to be able to use that debt ceiling in order to somehow maneuver things around. I don't get that. To me, it's like you only got so much money in the bank. You gotta maneuver within that. You need to be slashing and burning whatever agencies are necessary in order to get us within our means to spend less than what we take in. I'll tell you this, Ron, in Texas, we got the opposite problem. We got $30 billion in surplus. And so we're having to lobby our legislators to not create additional spending just because the money's there, but to actually give all of that money back to the people of Texas. Unfortunately, they're not going to do that. They're going to give, I think, about half of it back in property tax cuts and spend the. I may be totally wrong on that number, but bottom line is it's a different issue. On the federal level, we're still way beyond our means. So for all the talk, all the Doge, all the rhetoric, if in fact they end up spending an extra $4 trillion, that would be a slap in the face of the people that put them there for sure. Now I have not seen all the details. I haven't read the budget myself. I know my Congressman Chip Roy has been railing about exactly this and saying, what are we doing? Why are we increasing? We need to be decreasing. So we'll see where it all goes. Now, I will say this. I'll just close this particular topic or this call with this comment, and that is I haven't yet reached your point of frustration where you want to leave the country or you want to basically yank the leash and say enough is enough. I'm not going to give them the leeway or the grace to continue down this road. I'm still at the point of trusting the guy in the room. Okay, so I may be a fool for it and I may regret it 6 months from now. Now, I'm not against calling them on the carpet and constantly saying, hey, don't do this, and hey, this is the wrong direction to go. But I haven't lost faith completely or at all. I mean, it's kind of like the tariff thing. I am trusting President Trump as the guy in the room that we've hired to make these decisions and to do these negotiations, that when he, you know, adds these big tariffs on these countries, that it will bring them to heel. And I think we're seeing evidence of that already. I didn't expect that to happen so fast. I thought it would take, I said this on the program actually a month ago, that you look, we're going to have to ride this out probably through the end of the year before we see whether or not his gamble is going to work. Ronald Reagan's tax cuts in 1981, it took more than a year and a half, and things were getting worse, and people were trying to get him to back off, and thankfully, he stood his ground, and it led to the greatest peacetime economic expansion in history. And so I thought the tariffs would take that long, but look what happened over the weekend. China's already coming to heel. They're already dropping their tariffs even more than we are. You've got all these other nations that have acquiesced and are begging President Trump to pull back on the tariffs, and they're willing to negotiate. So I'm trusting the guy in the room not just because we're already getting results. I was going to trust to some extent to, you know, through the end of the year and give enough runway to make it work. And I think that's paying off, and I think that will continue to pay off. And, of course, trust but verify. Definitely on board with that. So in the same way, I'm gonna give them some leeway on this big, beautiful bill and on the packages that they're going to do in these first, you know, 6 months of the administration. And also recognizing, Ron, I got to say, man, we got a 3-vote majority. So there's only so much they can to get the good stuff done. Unfortunately, they're going to have to take on a lot of water too. They're going to have to take on a lot of weight, take on a lot of bad stuff in order to get it done. So anyway, all that to say, totally agree with your frustration, but I'm not to the level of saying I'm done. I'm leaving the country and I just can't put up with them anymore. But you have every right to be upset when they you know, go the wrong direction, and we should let them know for sure. All right, let's try to get this one in before the break, and I may have to carry you over, but Rob in Texas is up next. Rob, go ahead, man.
Hey, I'm calling you from Dallas. I'm over here on 635 fighting traffic.
Bro, I remember those days. That's why I left Dallas. Go ahead.
Yeah, brother, I got you. So I want to point out something. When Rick, when you fall on your knee and you damage it instantly, right?
I think if I understand what you're saying.
I'm trying to get to a point here. So if you damage your knee instantly, it takes a long time for it to recover, correct?
Correct. Yeah, tore my meniscus last year, actually.
What I'm trying to get at is all this damage that happened with the economy,
I see where you're going.
Employment,
yeah,
numbers and everything. It happened overnight, basically 20 years. We'll call it that. Now it's going to take a long time for everybody to recover. And this is what I can't get people to understand because of Trump's ambitions. I love Trump's ambitions. Don't get me wrong. But because he had these ambitions and everything, everybody just thought it was going to happen overnight on January 20th. It did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people are getting upset and blame
totally
him
get your.
He's
yeah.
not the best president. You know?
No, Rob, you're right. You're right on, man. I mean, this is, and we have said this a lot. Look, it took a long time to get into this mess. It's not gonna change overnight. I'm actually surprised at how fast we are moving. This is a generational change. So what we do right now is we lay the right foundation and we rebuild the walls so that the change can occur over a generation. Your point is so well taken, Rob. I think we've got to manage expectations for the results of the policies that are being put in place right now. Very, very good point. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Phone number is 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. We've been talking about the 250th coming up, talking about this window of opportunity, and of course, pressing the gas and getting gaining the most ground that we can. And to our last caller's point, it took time to get in the mess, so it's going to take time to get out. And not to mention anything that's going to be strong and lasting takes time to build. And really good fruit takes time. And so I don't want a quick fix that is only temporary. I want to see us rebuild the foundations, rebuild the walls in a way that will last for generations. And honestly, sometimes it takes a little pain to get the poison out, right? I mean, you gotta you go back to 2008, and when we had the housing crash and the mortgage insanity and all of that nonsense, if George W. Bush had come out and said, you know, what he came out and said was, "I'm normally a free market guy, but these are not normal times," and so he did all the bailouts and he made it where if you did stupid things like loaning 105% of the value of a home, which is essentially what led to the problem, and you pass bills where Congress is forcing banks to loan money to people that can't make the payments, when you do stupid things like that, there's going to be a price to pay for that. You're going to create the crash. And so what George W. Bush did he was scared by these all these supposed experts saying how horrible the Depression was going to be if he didn't do this. And so they bailed out the people that did stupid things. They basically absolved them of their bad decisions and didn't make them pay the price, didn't make them experience the pain so that they would then make better decisions in the future and other people would learn from watching the pain that they were experiencing. Instead, when you bail people out for their mistakes, they just go do the same stupid thing again. And other people go, well, if they got away with it, I'm going to do it. And other people go, well, why would I do it the hard way if I can do it the easy way and make money? And if I lose, somebody else will bail me out. So in other words, in 2008, they built a on the sand instead of building on the rock. And had they gone through the pain of excavating and going down deep and building a big foundation and experiencing the economic pain of a course correction, we would have ended up with a much better economy and a much stronger foundation. And instead, they took the easy way out. So I think you have to have some economic pain to have the course correction in order to get the good times down the road that last a lot longer. And so I'm all for us having the right expectations, to Rob's point, to essentially say these are big, big changes that we're making to get back to the foundation that will pay off in the long run. So whether it's the tariffs and resetting the table with the rest of the world, or it's the civics education that we're engaged in over the next 416 days to make sure that you have good citizens that will then produce good economy and good freedom and good legislation and all those things for generations to come. All of these things take time. It is not going to be an overnight thing. But it is surprising how quickly some of the market indicators are responding and how quickly reducing regulation and those kind of things does get good results very, very fast as well. So it's a long-term thing, but we are getting some bright lights and some good things even in the short term. All right, let's go to John in Kansas. John in Kansas, you're up next, man. And by the way, folks, the phone number, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. John, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate the program. The preamble of the Constitution of the United States reads, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America."
Well done.
I don't see where any of that applies to an alien, an illegal alien, or a criminal.
That's good.
Illegal alien.
Yeah. Well, in fact, John, what were those first few words that you said? We the people in the United States? Nope. What's it say?
The United States. The people of the United States.
Of, right? Not in. So it's not, if you just got here, if you snuck across the border, if you broke in, if you found a criminal way to get here, that did not get you into that clause right there. Just because you're here physically does not mean you are a people of the United States. You are not a citizen of this country. So to your point, John, it begins with language that makes it clear that the things that are now going to be in the document, the due process rights, the protections, not only of the Bill of Rights, but the ability to vote, the ability to petition our government for redress or grievance. I mean, just go down the list. I mean, all that stuff. It applies to the people of the United States, meaning you're a citizen of this country. You didn't just physically somehow drop out of a plane here or sneak across a porous border or get flown into the country by a president that was willing to sell the country down the river. You are a citizen of this country. That's what it applies to. Okay, I'm sorry, John. You had some more points to make. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it says.
Yeah, yeah.
The Constitution is for people of the United States and the rights thereof. Even when the Bible talks about aliens, most of the time it talks about sojourner aliens, people passing through. They
That's right.
To stay.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And it's specifically, it's very clear that they're obeying the laws. It's the same. When it says treat them the same, It's essentially saying they are obeying the laws, they're operating within the system, and so therefore they're treated the same with regard to the law applies to them. You know, that's the difference. And you're right. It's kind of like, you know, John, if we take the left's view on this thing, it's like saying that if somebody breaks into your house, that now you have to treat them the same as your family. And provide them with meals and a bedroom, and literally a criminal comes into your home, and now you're supposed to pay for their college and let them sleep under your roof, give them meals, you know, whatever. That's the mentality of these people that are saying, if you break into the country illegally, now you get all of the goodies. You get to be treated the same as, anyway, it's just insane. It doesn't have common sense. And to your point, it certainly doesn't have any constitutional sense. John, great call. Thanks for calling in from Kansas. Okay, we got, I love this name, Aurora from, Texas. Aurora from Texas. Did I say that right?
Hi. Yeah.
Love your name.
Right. Oh, thank you. Anyway, I just want to comment that your attention was very good. I almost cried.
Aww.
Because you're exhorting the president and also the country why we are doing a lot of good things right now. And
yeah.
I think it's the summary. It's really the worldview, the Christian worldview is being respected in most of the laws or executive orders. And that's it. You know, I thought you should write a book.
Oh,
you should include that in a book. You should include that in a book.
Well, Aurora, I'm holding it up. If you're not watching online, you're just listening. But I did. It's actually called Rebuilding Liberty, and it's going to be out in about another probably 4 weeks. So be sure.
Really?
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, get on my email list. You can do that at patriotacademy.com. And when the book's ready,
okay.
We will definitely send you a notice and give you a chance to get it. And I hope you'll share it with your friends and family.
Well, thank you
for calling in. And beautiful name, Aurora from Texas. I love that. Okay, David is in, Iowa. David, you're up next, man. Go ahead.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
You know, what I've been doing here in Iowa, we got the state vouchers. Kim Reynolds got the state vouchers 2 years ago. And our state auditor has been just clamoring to do an audit on there. And he's almost accusing program of, you know, doing dirt, you know, not taking care of the money the way they're supposed to take care of it. Anyway, I could see this guy coming a mile away. He's kind of like an Obama. Everybody likes him, young guy, lots of energy. Well, I said a long time ago, you're going to run for governor. I would tell him that on Messenger. Well, he's going to run for governor. And so I am going to campaign. There's two guys Randy Barista, I think he is. He's a senator. He may run for governor. There's another guy, Brian Sherman. But whoever it is, I am going to pull to keep this guy out because he's fully Democratic. He's not fooling me. And if he gets in there, the vouchers are the first thing he's going to go after. And they have been a blessing to us here in Iowa.
Well, and they just absolutely make biblical, historical, and constitutional sense. I mean, competition works, and the idea that we didn't do that in education for all these years, and we had a government monopoly on it, created the very problems we're dealing with now. It's why we have a civically ignorant population. And so competition through vouchers, through anytime you empower the parents to be able to take that money and go wherever they want, education's going to improve. Everywhere that's ever been tried, anywhere, it's improved the entire education system, both at the public, private, and homeschool level. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you. Anyone that is going to reduce that program or fight against it or make it harder, I would not support, certainly. I think it's a basic principle of competition and parental rights, putting the power in the hands of the parents. To be able to do that. Now, there's, I will say, my buddy Steve Dace up in Iowa is a potential candidate for something, and he's not putting himself out there. But there's been a lot of talk about, man, if he would run for the Senate or for governor, it would be great for Iowa. And he's a brilliant, brilliant guy, and has a great show on the Blaze. So probably isn't going to do it. But if he were to do it, that might change your calculation. He's certainly a guy that understands all of these principles of liberty that we're talking about, and the need to actually rebuild, and the fact that it takes time, and you have to build that foundation. So I just want to reiterate the 2-2-2. Make sure you're starting to think about how you're going to do your 2-2-2 during this 416 days that we have to rebuild Liberty. 2 hours a week. So start thinking, what would I do? What would I, if I was going to invest 2 hours a week into rebuilding Liberty, how would I do that? Like, what would be my outlet for that? And for you, it might be very different than what I'm proposing. In my book, Rebuilding Liberty, I talk about a lot of different options on this. So there's plenty of things that you can do. You know, there's three steps that are purely civic driven, you know, restore civics in this country. Get people educated on this. And that's everything from hosting a Rebuild Liberty class, which is very easy to do, and anyone can do it. I have young people that do it, literally from 12 to 95 people that are hosting these classes. So that's an easy one. Maybe you want to be part of hosting the celebration on July 4th, 2026, the big 250th that more and more people are talking about, which I'm glad everybody's talking about it. Okay, I've been pushing it for years, and nobody wanted to pay attention. And now all of a sudden, everybody's jumping on the train, and that's great. We want that to happen. But for you in your community, maybe it's you rounding up the people. Maybe it's some of the county officials. Maybe go to your county officials or city officials or your pastor or whoever and just say, hey, we got 416 days. Let's start planning now for the celebration that we're going to have. And we lay out in the book, Rebuilding Liberty, how to do that, the kinds of things you want to think about doing at the celebration. I don't want us to just have hot dogs and fireworks, folks. You want to read the Declaration of Independence out loud for everybody there. And you want to have a big blown up copy that everybody can sign. Let the people that join your celebration actually sign the Declaration of Independence. So that's an easy one that you could put 2 hours a week. If you start now putting 2 hours a week into your celebration that's going to happen in 2026, you will have a phenomenal, phenomenal event. I can virtually guarantee it. So that's, let's see, I wanted to just rattle these off for you. So there's three civic literacy and informed patriotism steps. Host a class, host a celebration on July 4th, 2026, and we give you input on that in the book. And then you got a little bit of time on this, but not a lot, so I'll try to hit it a lot in the next 3 or 4 weeks probably. But Constitution Day is September 17th, and there's a federal law that requires public schools, if they get any federal money, to do something about the Constitution on Constitution Day. And then I passed a state law in Texas, and about 7 states have followed suit, creating what we call Celebrate Freedom Week. So the whole week of Constitution Day, they do something on the Declaration and the Constitution. Those 56 words, all this stuff, and my book breaks that down as well. So that might be your 2 hours a week is starting to go and talk to schools about what they're going to do on Constitution Day. So that's the first three steps in our 12-step recovery program. You can pick one of those. Might want to pick the In God We Trust. That's step number 4. You might want to pick the Ten Commandments. That's step number 5. Step number 6 is all about putting godly wisdom back in the schools, actually having the Bible put back in schools. We got all kinds of Bible curriculum opportunities. And then the last 6 steps in the 12-step recovery are all about limited government. So maybe you want to be involved in restoring parental rights or restoring property rights or getting some limitations on the federal government and some of the constitutional amendments that need to be done. There's no limit to the number of options for what you can do with your 2 hours a week. And then for your 2%, give it right here to American Family Radio. Give it to Patriot Academy or Wall Builders or candidates or whatever you want to do. But start investing 2% of your fortune into Liberty. And then lastly, 2 posts a week where you put your reputation on the line, your sacred honor. Lives, fortunes, sacred honor. We're going to do a 2-2-2 between now and July 4th, 2026. And it's going to turn our country around. Let's press the gas, folks. Stay involved. Make sure you're listening to At the Core every day. Walker Wildman with you Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sure appreciate you listening today to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. You ever wonder why our society is so ravenous to abort babies? Well, according to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents. They sickly believe that the blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies, in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle. Their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. Every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. Donate securely today. Dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 or go to preborn.com, preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.